Welcome to Citizens September 24th, 2019 Audit Committee Meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register and is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Please do not place this call on hold. Press star 6 to mute your line and pound 6 to unmute your line. We will now convene with roll call. Chairman Betty Brown.
Here.
Governor Dunbar.
Here.
Governor Holton.
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Barbara. Our first order of business today, of course, is to approve the June 18, 2019 minutes. May I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Move.
Second.
And a second? Okay. If there are no objections or comments or corrections, this motion passes. Thank you. Joe Martins is at the dais. Nice to see you. And you're ready to give us your report, I take it.
Thank you, Governor Brown. Good afternoon, Governors. I'd like to refer you to tab 2 of your books. And within that tab, we have a dashboard, assurance dashboard, that includes the Office of Internal Audit, Internal Control, and Enterprise Risk Management. I'd like to start with the overview of the internal audit progress. Work completed during this period included 21 engagements on the plan, and since the last committee meeting, we finalized 5 engagements with 6 currently in progress and 6 others planned for Q1 2020. Some of the assignments that we completed included an AOB reform, some work on the AOB reform implementation, where we observed that in accordance with the provisions of House Bill 7065, diligent efforts were made to develop new processes necessary to comply with the AOB reform bill. We further worked on information classification and handling, where we confirmed that throughout the organization, management is well trained and knowledgeable in the requirements of this policy. With the reinsurance recovery audit, our work indicated that there are effective processes and controls in place to ensure appropriate identification and collection of relative reinsurance transactions. The responsible vendor review scoring model provided, with the responsible vendor review scoring model, we provided consultative advice to assist the vendor management office in the development of the scoring schema to more effectively determine the qualification or disqualification of vendors during the responsible vendor review. And lastly, we provided audit support to the Office of the Inspector General on the claims complaint. For this quarter, we have 6 audit engagements in progress. These includes the claims litigation legal billing audit, the financial services advisory, payroll audit, audit of proof repairs, systems information backup, and targeted analytics on the accounts payable. And for the Q1 2020 period, we list the assignment of benefits audit after the implementation, the cloud readiness audit, employee background checks audit, an advisory for software asset management, the audit of the remittance processes, and project support in the identity and access management project. And lastly, from the internal audit perspective, we are tracking 7 open observations, none of which are of high impact, and we believe that all open items are being worked on, and audit follows up monthly to assess progress. The next item is the Internal Controls Office, and this office facilitates the rollout of the Internal Control Framework. There are 4 process reviews remaining up to the completion of the ICF project. Control self-assessments are currently in progress and will be completed by November 30th this year. Internal Controls Office monitors the completion of control self-assessments and assesses quality of management reviews. On page 8, we have the Enterprise Risk Office report. Here we look at the risk from top down and a bottom-up approach. The Enterprise Risk Management facilitates interactive and engaging inherent and residual operational risk assessments to enable management to self-identify and assess risks. During the last quarter of this year, we will for the first time roll out the operational risk assessment process throughout the organization, and during that period, we will train management and teams within the organization on the utilization of the Resolver risk management tool, and we will also be conducting residual risk assessments with management. And lastly, we will focus on the strategic risks. During the beginning of the year, we identified 17 strategic risks which are currently being and consistently being worked with management, and the mitigating action is being changed as we progress. That concludes my report. If there are no questions.
Thank you. Members, any questions of Joe Martin? Are there any questions of Joe? Okay, then we'll move on to audit. Is that it? You're going to go over the audit? Okay. Super. Thank you. Looking for Jennifer Montero. Hi.
Hello.
Joe was so quick, I was paying attention, but I wasn't prepared for that. Thank you, Joe.
Good afternoon. If you'll turn behind tab 3 of the committee materials, you will find the June 30th, 2019 financial results and financial summary, which I will summarize now.
Thank you.
Despite the upward adjustments to loss reserves for Hurricane Irma during the second quarter, which I'll discuss shortly, operating results through the first half of 2019 compared favorably to operating results through the first half of 2018, largely driven by increases in net investment income. Consolidated direct written premium through the first half of 2019 was $442.8 million, which is 3.7% less than the prior year. This decrease is the result of decreases in combined policies in force, primarily commercial lines policies within both the commercial lines account and the coastal account. Decreases in policies in force were 2.2% for the personal lines account, 27.9% for the commercial lines account, and 11.6% for the coastal account. Premiums ceded for private reinsurance were $94.6 million at June 30th, 2019, compared to $88.6 million at June 30th, 2018. The increase in premiums ceded in 2019 was the result of coverage purchased in the personal lines account during 2019, but not in 2018, partially offset by reductions in premiums ceded to the coastal account. Through June 30, 2019, consolidated ultimate direct losses and loss adjustment expense related to Hurricane Irma increased $119.1 million, largely as a result of increases in both late reported claims and loss severity within the personal lines account. The net impact of this increase after reinsurance reimbursements was $33.2 million. A majority of the net development occurred within the commercial non-residential losses for which reinsurance has not yet and is not expected to trigger. Ultimate losses and loss adjustment expenses related to Hurricane Irma were $2.035 billion on a direct basis, of which $783.1 million is recoverable through reinsurance. Ultimate losses and loss adjustment expenses related to Hurricane Michael were unchanged compared to December 31st, 2018 and remain at $151.7 million. There were no reinsurance recoverables associated with Hurricane Michael as the loss and LAE attachment levels were not met. Current accident year losses in LAE unrelated to sinkholes and hurricanes did not experience meaningful variances from prior accident years, and development of prior accident year losses in LAE was minimal. Although litigated non-weather water claims continue to be a dominant driver of loss in LAE activity within the personalized account, while still an issue, the litigation rate for accident years 2018 and 19 continue to show improvement in comparison to accident years 2014 through 2017. Within the commercial lines account, volatility in older sinkhole claims continue to contribute to material quarterly variances in loss and LAE ratios. While the loss and LAE development within the commercial lines account are less significant to the accident year to which they relate, the diminishing size of the overall commercial lines book of business levels leaves it more susceptible to material swings in the loss and LAE ratios as a result of development in prior accident years when the commercial lines business book of business was considerably larger. Administrative expenses incurred during the first half of 2019 totaled $65.1 million, which were 1.5% less than the same period a year ago and 14.3% less than budget. Variances in contingent staffing was primarily due to a lower than anticipated need for independent adjusters that were engaged in response to Hurricanes Irma and Michael, as well as a higher than anticipated number of claims entering mediation. The expense ratio for the first half of 2019 was 25%, reflecting a 0.5% increase from the same period a year ago and a 0.8% decrease compared to budget. Total investment income for the first half of 2019 was $88.7 million, which is $29.4 million or 50% greater than the same period a year ago, despite a decrease of $815.6 million in total average invested assets over the same comparable period. Primary factors contributing to this increase were significant reductions in realized losses taken during the current period and increases in overall yields within the portfolio. Heading into hurricane season, Citizens Capital position remains incredibly strong, supported by a large level of surplus, highly rated invested assets, and a robust reinsurance program. For the 2019 hurricane season, our $1.449 billion private reinsurance program consists of $899.4 million in traditional reinsurance and $550 million through Everglades Re, supporting our diverse claims paying capacity. And I'll pause at if there are any questions, that concludes
members,
my report.
Any questions of Jennifer Montero?
Yeah, this is Mark. If I could ask you a couple of questions, that'd be great.
Sure.
Hey, Jennifer, on and maybe I don't know whether I'm asking a question prematurely or not, but if you go to what I guess is tab 3B, the financial results, if you go to the last page, page 5, that talks about, that breaks up the administrative expenses. Let me know when you're there.
Okay. The cash flow?
The page I'm looking at is administrative expenses, and I may have gone to the wrong tab. Maybe that's the financial summary, the next one.
Okay. Okay, I'm there.
Okay. So, and maybe I just want to make sure I'm reading the columns right. So I'm looking at insurance. The insurance line, it says through June 30th, we spent $240,610. And then you jump over the comparison to last year, it's $493,423. And we're budgeting $460,000, right, through – And with a total budget for 12 months of being 861, you following me on that line?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm wondering is it just a timing issue? Why haven't we spent $400,000 on insurance? Are we spending less on insurance? Did we get some break, or is it just a timing issue and the money just hasn't shown up through the 6 months and it's about to bump up? Do you see the difference I'm talking about?
Yeah, I see. So, yes, we paid only $240,000 year-to-date in 2019. For the first 6 months in 2018, we paid almost double that, $490,000. And right now our six-month budget was $460,000, so we're well below budget. So I'd have to – I can get the detail for that. Most likely it's a timing issue of the payment not being made before June 30th because we are budgeted to have $460,000 by June 30th.
Yeah, and I wasn't – I really was hoping at some point you could come back to me and let me know. I'm just curious if our premiums or what we're spending on insurance has dropped or something, and then ultimately we'll revise that 12-month number down. I don't expect that you would know exactly what goes into that $240,610 right now, but it just seemed like it was, you know, an appreciable amount below what we budgeted. So. And then the other question that I had, and this may be for Violet, is so I'm looking if the second line is related to employee benefits, and it says that we're budgeted $17,184,000 that we should spend through year to date, and we've spent $15,700,000, which is about 1.3 million less than we spent this time last year of 17 million on a total budget line of 22. So what the question is, what on employee benefits are we spending less on, or are we under budget, or is this also a timing issue?
Again, I can look into that. I would have to look at the detail, and I can have both of these answered for you by tomorrow's meeting. That will be okay.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Chair.
I have one, and you said it early in your preparation, and I didn't catch it. What was the net expense in that that we paid out for Irma after we got our reinsurance back? You gave us that number. I don't remember
right.
What it was.
Right. So the development was 119.
Okay.
But when you – and that's the direct,
total,
the gross.
Total, yeah.
Up for just for the six-month period.
Right.
And then 33.2 of that was the net. The difference was picked up by reinsurance.
So nothing. We had no expense.
Well, 33.2.
Just 33. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So the difference – if it was in the personal lines account, remember in 2017 there was no – private reinsurance in the personal lines account, so it would just be cat fund.
Gotcha. Okay.
And in coastal, it's the cat fund and the sliver. We're both
okay.
Triggered.
Thank you. I heard you say it, but it wasn't clicking, so thank you very much for that. Any other questions of Jennifer? Okay. Thank you very
much.
We do have in our books the complaint management statistics. There's nothing there to discuss. Is there any new business to come before the group today? Then I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
And who was that?
Second.
Okay.
I second.
We are adjourned.